But I ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, to Psalm 119, verse 164, a message entitled, right from the verse itself, Seven Times a Day Do I Praise Thee. Seven times a day do I praise Thee. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would. Psalm 119, verse 164, therein the psalmist proclaimed this commitment. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Let me read that again. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll proceed then with the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we pick up this study here in Psalm 119 about praising You specifically for the truth and wisdom of Your Word, that You might help us to have hearts open, not only to have our hearts raised up more in our estimation and value of Your Word, its truth, its wisdom, its instruction, its guidance in our lives, but so much so that we'll be filled with praise to You for this precious treasure that You've given to us, the Word of God. Lord, I pray, stir our hearts this morning and throughout the remainder of this study in future weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In fact, in Psalm 119, the psalmist spoke about lifting up praise unto the Lord, his God, four times. Four times he specifically mentions praising God. He does so in verse number 7, Psalm 119, verse number 7, the psalmist there makes statement, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. In Psalm 119, verse 164, the verse that we just read, so near the beginning of the psalm, one time he talks about praising God specifically when he's learned the righteous judgments of God's Word. Here at the end of the psalm, three times he mentions praising the Lord. In verse 164, the one we read to begin, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Look at verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. And then verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. One other time in the psalm as well, back to verse 62. One other time, the psalmist talks about giving thanks to the Lord. Four times, he specifies, I will praise the Lord. One time, he specifies, I will give thanks to the Lord. And we know, according to some passages in the Psalms and in the New Testament and so forth, that giving praise and giving thanks to the Lord are very closely related to one another. And so we'll be considering those four verses plus this one as well. Verse 62, Psalm 119, the psalmist says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Now the fact of the matter is that the Lord our God is certainly worthy of, for a multitude of reasons, He's certainly worthy of our praise. Amen? If I started for us to go around the room and just say, mention one thing about God for which He's worthy of praise, I think we go around the room more than once. The character of God, the nature of God, the works of God, all of the different elements involved in the salvation plan of God. And then we could talk about the works of God the Father and the works of God the Son and the works of God the Holy Spirit and all that they do in our lives. But the psalmist here in Psalm 119, when he talks about praising the Lord these four times and he talks about giving thanks to the Lord this one time in the psalm, in every one of these cases, his focus is upon one and, in all five cases, the same element of God, the same thing related to the Lord our God. What is it? It's His Word. He calls it His righteous judgments. Three times. One time he talks about the Lord teaching him His statutes. One time he talks about, he uses a different term, but three times he talks about because of thy righteous judgments. Now in Psalm 19, the word judgments is another one of the terms that the psalmist uses as a referent to God's Word. He's not referring, as we might think, judgments as in when God comes down and He strikes the wicked down for their wickedness. He judges them. Now, does God pronounce such judgments in His Word? Yes. But does God pronounce other judgments in His Word? See, the word judgment is not inherently a negative term. The word judgment is a term that simply means making a decision about the value of something, whether positive or negative, and thus the response that you should have based on its value. If someone behaves in a wrong way and I make the judgment that's wrong, and if it happens to be my child, that's wrong and this is the form of discipline, I've made a judgment. But if I also say, and I've illustrated this here before, if my child is doing something right, and I go up to my child and say, well done, you've done a great job. In fact, you kind of went above and beyond the call of duty. Let me give you this reward. Have I made a judgment? Yeah, I've made a judgment. Now, most of the time we hear judgment, we're thinking about guilty, and you're going to go to jail for so long. That's the judgment. But the fact is, any form of judgment that I make about the value of something that's good, or actually that's bad, this side we're doing, that's bad, that's good, it's this much bad and therefore worthy of this much discipline, it's this much good and worthy of this much reward, those are all judgments. You know, judgments can also be made about things and activities, not just about people. We think judgment, we think a person that did wrong is worthy to be judged for their wrong, punished for their wrong, and that's what judgment is. No, judgment is making a decision about the value of something and thus the appropriate response according to that value, whether positive or negative. If it's bad, if it's a person doing bad and I have the responsibility of discipline, then I judge that it's a bad behavior worthy of this much discipline. Are there some behaviors worthy of more discipline than others? Yeah, even God gives us that principle in the Mosaic Law that was for governing a nation's law. There's that principle even in the way God deals with our lives to some extent here on the earth. There is that. Now, all sin is worthy of one eternal judgment called hell. All in any sin. But even in that, God talks about the fact that in the day of judgment, it'll be worse for some than it will be for others. Doesn't He? So God makes judgment calls on those things, but not just about people. Can we make judgment calls about activities? That's a good thing for me to do, so I should do it. That's a bad thing for me to do, so I should avoid it. Here's three good things for me to do, but I only have time to do two of them. How many of you ever run into the problem where you have a list of things that are all things that are good to do, things you should get done? I'm not talking about things you want to do. We think things we want to do are good too, right? And we value them based upon our wanter. And we can talk about that one in a moment. But things we should do. But in fact, we don't quite have enough time to get them all done in one day. Do we have to make a judgment call? Not just about whether they're good versus bad. If they're bad, take them off your list. Amen? If they're bad, they shouldn't even be on your list. If they're good, keep them on your list. But sometimes you have to prioritize between the good. Don't you? Sometimes you have to say, okay, I'll do this good thing and this good thing because they're more important right now than this good thing and this good thing. Those can be put off to another time. They're good. It's right that I should do them, but I have to make a judgment call between the values of what's good. See, we run into these things, just like the judgment call, the value of how bad it is, and something receives more judgment than something else, or more discipline, more punishment than something else, because of the value of how bad it is. All of that is part of judgment. And God's Word gives us a whole lot of communication about what's good, what's bad, how good is it, how bad is it, who is good, who is bad. How good are they? How bad are they? How much should you pursue them? How much should you avoid them? All of this is what you might classify as the truth of God's judgments. Now, is it also true that people make judgments that are not righteous judgments? They value things that are not right. What people value, they pursue. There's a lot of people in the world today highly valuing money and material things, and they're giving themselves to pursue it. Should they be? Not nearly as much as they are, according to the Word of God, right? So they're making a judgment about the value, but they're not making a righteous judgment about the value. And therefore, they're engaging in wrong behavior because of a wrong judgment. When God gives us judgments about things, when God declares good, bad, better, best, when God gives us those judgments, are His judgments ever faulty? No, they're always righteous judgments. Three times in the verses we read about the psalmist praising the Lord, three times he said he praises the Lord because of or in relation to the Lord's righteous judgments. Not just judgments, but righteous judgments. Throughout the psalm, the psalmist gave praise and thanks unto the Lord for one specific reason. He gave praise and thanks unto the Lord for the truth of God's Word. And brethren, in like manner, every day, even multiple times a day. When the psalmist said, seven times a day do I praise thee, we could stop there and we could just preach on that as a theme statement. Seven times a day I praise thee. Somebody might say, really, seven times? What would you praise God for up to seven times a day? Well, let me go through the book of the Psalms and the rest of the Word of God, and I can list off for you a multitude, probably tens of hundreds of reasons to praise the Lord. Amen? But that was not what the psalmist was talking about when he said seven times a day, I just keep coming up with more and more things to praise you for. The psalmist said, I praise you seven times a day for one specific thing. Now, did he praise the Lord for other things? I dare to say he did. But when he made this statement, seven times a day do I praise thee, he gave the one specific reason why. Because of thy righteous judgments. I praise God because of the wondrous truth that He has given me in His Word. Amen? You know how much truth for living there is here, how much wisdom there is for living in the Word of God? And do you realize that without the Word of God, you and I would be floundering in this world, flipping and flopping all around, searching for wisdom but never finding it? And by the time we get to the end of our lives and realize that our lives have been ruined because we never really found the wise way, we will have wished that somebody would have just shown us the right way. And God will say, that's why I gave you my Word, to show you the right way. So you don't have to spend your whole life looking for it. You can just look into my Word, find out what it says, and live it. Amen? What if He hadn't given us His Word? How many of you would know how to get saved if there wasn't a Word of God? I wouldn't. How many of us would know the wondrous character of God Himself apart from the Word of God? We might know a few things, but we wouldn't know a whole lot. How many of you would probably be following a false religion today if it wasn't for the Word of God? Actually, some of you might shake your head and say, oh, yeah, I would have followed one of those false religions in Christianity. No, you wouldn't. Without the Word of God, there wouldn't be a Christianity of any kind. So you'd be stuck with one of those others. I would just be, probably a cultist somewhere. For short people. Yeah. Jared's not allowed. Actually, if we get people like Jared, you don't want to know. Who knows? Listen, you laugh, but to some extent, the world will create its own religions and will create them in so many different styles and manners and ways because that's what we do as humanity. But God said, don't pursue the human way. Let me show you the right way. Amen? And God wasn't stingy, by the way, on showing us wisdom. He wrote us a book that's not 50 pages, not 200 pages, but 1,000 plus pages, right? A lot of truth He's given to guide our lives because He wants us to know the best way to live. He wants us to know how to walk with Him and how to live for Him. He wants us to know all of that. And so He's given us His Word. And the psalmist, well, the psalmist was thrilled to have the Word of God. He was thrilled to know the truth of the Word of God. He was thrilled to glean the wisdom of God's Word. And because of that, he was moved to praise God 7 times a day, multiple times every day, for what God had given him in the precious treasure called the Word of God. Brethren, every day, even multiple times a day, we also should lift up praise and give thanks to the Lord our God for the truth of His Word. There are 5 different passages here where the psalmist that we mentioned, the psalmist says, I give praise or I give thanks. 4, I give praise. 1, I give thanks. From each one of these 5, we'll learn a reason for praising the Lord for the Word of God. The first one, we should praise the Lord for the righteous wisdom of His Word. We should praise the Lord for the righteous wisdom of His Word. Look at Psalm 19, verses 171 and 172. The psalmist says, let my supplication come, 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. The psalmist was moved to praise the Lord as the Lord taught him from His holy word. It's what he says in verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. So each new truth that he has learned, that he learns from the Word of God, each new truth that God teaches them, each new truth, the psalmist then responds by praising God for it. Thank you for teaching me that. Thank you for teaching me that. What a wonderful truth to have learned. How many truths have you learned from the Word of God since you've been saved? How many principles, how many precepts, how many warnings, how many points of wisdom, how many issues of guidance, how many principles of direction has God shared with you, given to you as you've grown in your Christian walk through the Word of God? The psalmist said, when you teach me, as you teach me, in the very process of being taught, I'm praising the Lord. I'm uttering praise to God for each new truth. What a wondrous truth God has taught me today. Wow. And then I think back and meditate on truths He's already taught. And I praise Him yet again for them. Amen? That's what the psalmist was doing. And he was doing it not just because he had learned truth, but he was doing it because he found every truth that he learned from God's Word was a righteous truth. The psalmist was moved to praise the Lord because he found God's Word to be full of true wisdom, and because he found that God's Word was full of righteous wisdom. First, concerning true wisdom, the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 97 through 100, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I grow in wisdom. I have greater wisdom than my enemies, which is good. That gives me the ability to defeat them. I have greater wisdom than my teachers, which is good, because that raises me even higher up. Not that I can look down on them, but my teachers can only take me so far, and yet God steps in and takes me that much further. I even have greater wisdom than the ancients. You know, even that's good, because the ancients don't know everything, but God does. And because of that, because I have been taught the Word of God, because they're ever with me and they are my meditation and they are the guide for my life, I find great wisdom Yet it was not simply the wisdom of God's Word, but also the righteous character of that wisdom that moved the psalmist to utter praise unto the Lord. He spoke of God's Word with honor and praise because he found that all the counsel and commandments of God's Word were characterized by righteousness. Back to verse 171 and 172. He says, "My lips shall praise thee when thou hast taught me thy statutes. When each point of wisdom you teach me, I praise you. For each point of wisdom you have taught me in the past, as I meditate on them, I praise you for having taught me. But more than that, as I meditate on them, I find the depth of their righteousness." Verse 172. "My tongue shall speak of thy word." In what way? Well, he's already told us in 171. "My lips shall utter praise." Verse 172. "My lips shall speak of thy word." Why? "For all thy commandments are righteousness." In Psalm 19, verses 137 and 138, the psalmist proclaimed, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Again, in verse 140, the psalmist proclaimed, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Why? Because the word of God is pure. Yet again, in the opening portion of verse 144, the psalmist proclaimed this, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting." The what of thy testimonies? Righteousness. How long is it? Stand? Forever, everlasting. The psalmist found that the wisdom of God's word is just as it describes itself to be in Proverbs 8, verses 6 through 9. Here, wisdom of God's word personified speaking in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." Now that's a wondrous statement at the end there of verse number 9. Statement of verse 9, the personified wisdom of God's word says, "I'm righteous, I'm truth, I am pure, I'm holy, I'm excellent." And then it says, "Those that seek to learn me, really give themselves to learn me, will find me. And those that find me, that really give themselves to learn me and find me, they will find that what I teach is righteous. That it's right. They will be right in His estimation." Here's the point. God's word's right whether you think so or not. Amen? The character of God's word is righteousness whether you believe so or not, whether the world believes so or not, whether we take a vote and the majority votes in favor of God's word or not really doesn't matter. The truth is God's word and all the truth and all the wisdom of God's word is characterized by righteousness. But as you sit down with the word of God and begin to give yourself to learn it and to learn it and let God teach it to you and learn it and let God teach you more and more, and as you meditate on it, what you begin to do is your own character begins to say, "Yes, you're right. That's right." And as you find the value of what's right in the Word of God, your heart is stirred to say, "Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for these wondrous truths, this wondrous book of wondrous wisdom and wondrous truth and wondrous guidance that you've given to me. For this very reason, the psalmist lifted up his heart of praise unto the Lord. For this very reason, the psalmist had fallen in love with the truth of God's holy word. For this very reason, the truth of God's word had become the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. He delighted in it. He loved it. For this very reason, the psalmist lifted up his voice in praises unto the Lord his God for the gift of his word and for the gift of its righteous wisdom. And brethren, for this very reason, we also should lift up our hearts in praise unto the Lord our God. Do you see the Word of God as a valuable gift and treasure God gave you? Some say, well, yeah, I believe that because that's certainly our doctrine. Yes, but do you really see it that way because you are in it and you find the value of the treasure of the gift of the Word of God? Not just of the book in hand, but of the wisdom in that book. Not just pages and a cover around them that we say, oh, this is so valuable. But the actual truth and teaching that is found therein. The psalmist wasn't talking about the Word of God as a book. The psalmist was talking about the Word of God as material of truth and wisdom to guide his life. And as he learned it, not as he carried it around, but as he learned it, it moved him to praise God. Number two, we should praise the Lord for the transforming work of His Word. For the righteous wisdom of His Word. Number two, for the transforming work of His Word. Turn back now to the beginning of the Psalm, Psalm 119, verse number 7. In Psalm 119, verse 7, the psalmist proclaimed, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Now over in Psalm 119, verse 171, where we just were, the psalmist spoke about the Lord's teaching of His Word and of its righteous wisdom. Now in Psalm 119, verse 7, where we are at the moment, the psalmist is speaking about his own learning of God's Word and of its righteous wisdom. It's kind of the other side of the coin. In verse 171, he said, when you teach me. In Psalm 119, verse 7, he says, when I have learned. Now, if you've ever been a teacher of any kind, whether it's in school or whether it's of your own children or whether it's, you know, here at church, a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is, if you've ever been a teacher of an individual, you know that you can engage in teaching without the student learning. You can engage in the process of teaching, the work of teaching, and yet the student not learn anything. The psalmist wasn't in that case. The psalmist was a student that had come to God to learn. And so the Lord engages in teaching, and as God teaches, the psalmist praises Him for teaching him. But the psalmist was also there not just to praise, but to learn something. And as he learned it, the more and more he learned it, it moved him to praise. But what's interesting in this verse, Psalm 119, verse 7, is he's not just praising God because he learned it. He's praising God with a certain kind of character because he had learned it. Learning the Word of God changed him. What does he say? Psalm 119, verse 7, look at it again. He says, I will praise Thee when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Is it just about learning? Or did I skip something? Let's look at it again. I skipped something on purpose to get you to focus on it. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Here's really the process. God teaches. The psalmist learns. And the psalmist's heart changes. As the psalmist learns the truth and wisdom of God's Word, it changes the character of his heart. Just a few verses later, Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist is going to say, wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And then he's going to give the answer. By taking heed thereto. That thereto is not a reference to the Word of God, it's a reference to His way. How do I cleanse my way? By taking heed to my way according to God's Word. By making sure that my way lines up with God's Word. So God teaches me, I learn, and as I learn, I line up my way to His Word. And what does that do? That begins to transform the character of my heart. It changes me from dirty
to upright.
Now I have an upright heart. Why? Because God taught me His Word and I learned it, and I let the Word of God do its work of changing in my life. I let the Word of God do its work of transformation in my life. And now I praise God not just for what He taught me, but I praise God for how it changed me. How many of you today would say, "Preacher, before God, I am thankful that I am not still what I was 10, 20, 30 years ago"? Some of you say, "I'm thankful I'm not what I was 30 years ago, because 30 years ago, I wasn't." But the fact is, for those who've lived whatever period of time, and you look back at your life 10 or 20 or 30 years back, and you say, "Where God has brought me is different than what I was." Now, some might say, "Well, I'm younger, preacher. I can't look back that far. And I've been raised in a Christian home, so it's not like I've really gone far astray like some others." I'm going to tell you now, you continue to walk in the things of the Word of God, even if you've been raised in a Christian home. And 10, 20, 30 years from now, you'll look back and still say, "I'm thankful I'm not as immature. I'm thankful I'm not as self-centered. I'm thankful that I'm not as spiritually ignorant as I was when I was younger." Because that's what the Word of God does. It makes us more and more like Christ, like Him. And as it does that, we begin to look back and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm not as much like I was, and I'm more like who I ought to be." Now, I've still got growing to do. And prayerfully, if the Lord lets me, if the Lord and my wife lets me live another 10 years, right? 10 years from now, I can look back and say, "I'm that much further toward what I ought to be." But the psalmist wasn't just saying, "Thank you for truth I've learned." He's also saying, "Thank you for changes it's made in my life. For the wisdom of God's Word, its righteous wisdom, but also for the work of God's Word, its transforming work. Because I now have an upright heart, and I didn't always have an upright heart, but I have an upright heart before God now, because He taught me, and I learned His Word, and that Word has done a work to change me. And I praise God, not just for what it says, but how it has changed me." The psalmist does not focus upon the process of learning in Psalm 19, verse 7. Rather, he focuses upon the results of that learning in Psalm 19, verse 7. He speaks about coming to the place of an upright heart through learning the truth and wisdom of God's Word. As such, in Psalm 19, verse 7, the psalmist set his focus upon the transforming work of God's Word, upon that work wherein the truth and wisdom of God's Word is spiritually able to transform the spiritual character of our lives unto righteousness, unto holiness, unto godliness. It's the transforming work that is referenced in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the Word of God is quick, spiritually alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner." That's the spiritual work. The transforming work of God's Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the transforming work that is referenced in James 1 in verse number 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save, spiritually transform your soul." It's the transforming work that's referenced in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting, spiritually transforming the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." It's the transforming work that's referenced in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, spiritually transformed. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's the transforming work that our Lord Jesus Christ referenced in His prayer of John 17 in verse number 17. Where praying unto the Lord about His believing disciples, He said, sanctify them, that is, spiritually transform them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The psalmist greatly desired for this transforming work to be done in his heart and life. That's why he cried out in verse 9, wherewithal, how shall I, a young man, cleanse my way? Oh, he desired it. He desired that transforming work to be done in his heart and life. He highly valued a cleansed way. He greatly desired to walk in that cleansed way. He highly valued an upright heart. He greatly desired to grow in an upright heart. He highly valued the ways of truth and righteousness. He greatly desired to order his character and his conduct in that truth and righteousness. And for this reason, the psalmist gave himself to praise the Lord for the Lord's holy word. Because he, the psalmist, understood that it, the Word of God, was the means by which his character and his conduct could be transformed aright. He loved God's Word. He delighted in God's Word. He meditated in God's Word. He didn't want to put it down. He didn't want to leave it aside. He didn't want to forget about it. He didn't want to neglect it in any way because it taught him righteous wisdom and it changed him, transformed him unto righteous character. And brethren, for this same reason, we also should praise the Lord our God for every work of spiritual transformation, not just righteous truth, but spiritual transformation that He has produced in us through the power of His holy Word. Amen. If we really just sat down and said, you know, if we took tonight's service, I don't know that I'm going to do this. I have a different plan for tonight's service. But if we took tonight's service, those who gathered with us this evening for the evening service, if we took tonight's service and just went around the room and said, the first time we go around the room, we're going to praise God for one truth of the Word of God He's taught us. Just one truth. How many times could we go around the room? Okay, but then after a number of times of doing that, spending our time going around the room again and again, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, whatever it is, we go around the room, some truth that God has taught us, some wondrous, righteous, guiding truth that He's taught us. Then we start going around the room and then praising the Lord for how He's changed us by His truth. I was this, but God's changed me and my life now is going this way. I used to give myself for this, but the Lord convicted me with this truth of the Word of God, and now I'm giving myself to this. I didn't used to do these things. I used to think that they weren't that important. But the more I study the Word of God, the more it has changed my life. And now, to be honest, I don't do those things anymore like I used to do. Because God changed me. My value system has changed. What I used to value versus what I now value. And we just go around the room and just praise God for that. What He's taught us and how it's changed us. How much praise could we come up with? Now, it'd be sad if some of us said, well, I can't really think of much. Well, there's probably a different reason for that. And it's not because somehow God's Word failed, that it doesn't have any truth, or because it failed, that it didn't really change you. It's probably because you're not spending much time with it. You're not letting it do its work. You're not learning its wisdom. But the psalmist, he was in love with the Word of God. He spent time with it. I wonder if seven times a day he praised God for God's righteous truth because seven times a day he was in the Word. Every time he opened the Word of God, he said, "Cool, look at that!" I've seen brand new believers that shortly after they get saved, you talk to them about feeding on the Word of God. They're babes in Christ and they need to grow, and the food for them to grow is the Word of God. So they begin to read the Word of God. And I get a phone call every day. "Pastor, I just wanted to tell you something I learned from the Word of God today." The pastor does not say, "Wow, I learned that 30 years ago." That's not what the pastor says. The pastor says, "Wonderful! Now what are you going to do about it?" Or, "Pastor, I was reading this. I got a question. I'm not quite sure I understand what's going on here." Well, let me walk you through what he's saying. Let me show you a few other passages you might not be familiar with because it's kind of new to you. And let me show you what's going on. And by the time it's over, wow, that's really deep. But it's also interesting sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I understand that as we grow in the things of the Word of God, you know, a baby constantly needs the mother, the father to constantly hold and carry and all of those things. And I'm not still, my 18-year-old, I better not still have to be carrying him everywhere he goes and holding his hand and everything. I mean, at some point, he begins to be able to walk on his own. Amen? And spiritually speaking, there comes a point where believers can grow and don't need to be on the phone with the pastor every day about every new truth. They can just praise God on their own. They don't constantly need that. I get that. But sometimes the reason why that dulls up is not because we've just gotten to the point where we don't need to constantly be next to the pastor telling him every new thing we've learned, but because we're not learning anything anymore. And we're not learning anything because we're not in the Word anymore. The Word's not getting into us anymore. There's no more wisdom being learned. There's no more transformation happening. We become what Hebrews chapter 5 says, dull of hearing. And we've gone backward in our spiritual maturity. It's not where the psalmist was. Psalmist was a young man, probably in his early 20s, who was still in love with God's Word. And what he loved, he spent time with. And he praised God for it. We need to learn the same thing. There are three others of these that I'd like to present to you. The other three aren't as full as the first two. And so we'll take those, Lord willing, next Sunday morning to consider them. These first two that we've considered here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that what You'd really do from this today, I might say, Lord, help us to be full of praise for Your Word. But see, I know that comes naturally when we're in love with Your Word. So what we really need to do, Lord, is learn to fall in love with Your Word again. Fall in love with its truth again. Let it teach us again. Meditate on it again. Let it change us and transform us again. Walk in obedience to it again. Lord, help us not to have a talk about it love, but help us to be really in love with the Word of God again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many would say, "Preacher, I need to fall in love with the Word of God again. I've lost my love." Remember the church at Ephesus when Jesus said, "You have all this that's good, but you've left your first love." I believe they left Jesus Christ, their walk with Him. But listen, in John chapter 15, Jesus Christ said, "Abide in Me and I in you." Then a few verses later, He said, "Abide in Me, and My words abide in you." You know why? Because Christ abiding in you and His words abiding in you are just two different biblical ways of talking about the same thing. If you're in love with the Word of God, you're in love with the Lord your God. When you're not in love with the Word of God anymore, it's because you've left your first love of the Lord God as well. So someone might say, "Preacher, that's it. I've left that love. I didn't just lose it. I did what the Ephesian church is rebuked of doing. I left it. I've replaced it with some other love. And I'm convicted here this morning. I need to fall in love with the Word of God again. I need to fall in love with the Lord my God again." How many of you say, "That's me, preacher"? I lift my hand. Would you pray for me? Amen. Amen. Still others raising their hand. Amen. Amen. You may put your hand down. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for these. The Spirit of God's working. I just pray that there will be yieldedness and submission. In Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen.